This week on The Chirp with Darren Millard, we go to the Stanley Cup Final with ESPN's Ray Ferraro. Tampa's back. Colorado has a goalie controversy and patching a hole in the ceiling. Trust me, this is an all-inclusive conversation with Ray Ferraro on The Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Heads up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man? I'm going to run you. I'm just waiting for my shift.
It's a change of location for the Chirp podcast as we switch to the other side of the continent. PEI, no fancy backdrop. We're in the cottage here, and we're having some fun with mosquitoes and rain. And Ray Ferraro joins us from the Stanley Cup Final. Let me ask you this. We'll get into the hockey in a little bit, but when you go out for dinner now, do you even look at the menu?
No, not really. I'm so tired of restaurants and the length of the meal. I want to just go and eat. And I've been home 4 days since May the 2nd. When I got home the Sunday before the final started, Darren, sitting in the kitchen, 12-year-old comes home from basketball. Hey, how you doing? He's great and all that. He's going to go take a shower. We're just sitting there. Water starts pouring through the roof.
No.
And I'm like, ah! So Cammy and I run upstairs, shut the water off. The water's up over his ankles, but he's 12. He's having a great time, right? He's like kicking the water around and doing whatever. I guess it didn't occur to him that the water wasn't draining. And so we get the water shut off. Now we got to figure out what's going on. I'm like, you know what? We've been in this house 5 years. I don't know that anyone's ever looked at the gutter or looked at the drain.
Yeah.
You couldn't have gotten an air bubble through that thing. So I clean it out. Of course, the water just drained. But now when I left, there's a hole in the roof. You got to cut it out, dry everything out, get it, you know, re-drywalled and paint it up again. So I said to Cammy, any chance this could be done by the time I come home? Like, it was so deflating, right? I was like, oh, look at this. Now I come out, you're in a restaurant, it's nothing to complain about, but oh my God, is it exhausting. Exhausting. I'll have the salad, I'll have the chicken, move it along.
So when you get the multiple questions on what you order, you must be ready to just go Snapzilla.
Oh no, I'm ready to go because I want to move it along. Extra veggies, less potato, chicken. I think I've eaten the same meal 38 times. I don't even know what I'm eating anymore. I'm just so worn to the pulp. The games are great. The rest, yeah. The in-between days, oh, they seem endless.
Could you have fixed the roof, the ceiling, if you were there?
Not a chance.
A real bonus.
The older boy, like Landon and Matt, were there too, and after we settled down and all the, you know, we got the water stopped or figured out where it was coming from, they took absolute no mercy on my reactions. They're like, why are you yelling at the water? The water's just the water. Just go turn the water off or turn the shower off. Or they're like, why are you yelling? You know, so they're well aware of my uselessness around the house.
At the Stanley Cup Final is now a series. Is Colorado in better shape than the Rangers were, even though both were up 2-1 after three? Because a lot of people thought, oh, the Rangers missed their chance in game three.
Yeah. Well, I thought they really did because they were up 2-0 in game three. Halfway through the game, it's 2-0. I mean, the champs are 30 minutes away from being down 3-0. I think Colorado's in a way better place for a couple of reasons. And one place, not so good for one other reason. The good place, they're well rested. I mean, the Rangers were on fumes. You could see it. They started to, you see, they just weren't quite as sharp. They weren't quite as physical. They weren't quite as aggressive. And one time I made it to the semifinals and we won one game against Montreal in 93. And you realize when it's over, you're only really halfway there.
Yeah, it's amazing.
When you get it's so hard. And the Rangers just ran out of steam. So I like Colorado because they're fresher. I think they're a way more dynamic team. I think that's pretty easy to see because they're so fast. And I think that's a real advantage. The one place that's not, and it was exposed for the first time last night, is in goal. One side's got the very best, and the other side's got two guys they hope can do the job. And now, you know, Kemper didn't have a great, I didn't think he was great in game one, but he hadn't played in 2 weeks, right? And so, it's going to have, you know, you're going to battle it around a bit. Game two, he had 16 shots. And I don't know, two of them were hard. Like, that was domination. And he had a really tough, you know, 5-on-21 in game three. So now what do you do? I mean, I said last night in the game, it's opened the door for the question of what you're going to do in game four.
What would you do?
I would go back to Kemper. I think Kemper's better. Even though I look at Francois's numbers and they're better. I look at Francois and I see small and lots of movement. And then I go, oh, he's 6-0 and, you know, he's got a better save percentage and all that stuff. And I feel like Kemper is more, it's more possible to have a big night from him than from Francois. But it's not like Bednar came out last night and said, oh yeah, Kemper's our game four starter.
Didn't shut it down at all.
You know, and so that today, there's two topics at the rink today. Kemper and Francois and Nikita Kucherov. Mm-hmm. And everything else is going to be white noise to those two topics.
Does it affect the players when there's a decision to be made in goal?
Yeah, for sure.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, you don't really care because you can't do anything about it.
That's what I was going to say. I know you have a goalie son, but the player in you tells me that you would have said, just stop the puck. I don't care who's in there.
Yeah. Does not matter to me one way or the other. Just stop it.
Yeah.
And what I learned about being a dad of a goalie that played, you know, until he was 18 was he could make 31 great saves and give up one through the five hole, lose 1-0. And people would go, yeah, but he gave up that one through the five hole. It stunk being a goalie dad. I hated it. I felt so much pressure for him. On the bench, you just don't want a deflating moment. Like, you can't look at your goalie and say, I hope he can outplay Andrei Vasilevskiy, because he's not going to. I'm telling you, like, I've been around a long time now, and I can think of Waugh, Brodeur, Hasek, Vasilevskiy. Mm-hmm. That's my group. There's all a bunch of great goaltenders that have been in that era. I've been around the league since 84.
Those guys can just mind screw you.
Like, unbelievable. Like, if what do you think JT Compher thought last night? He had three that should have gone in. Like, not could have. Should have.
Yeah.
And Vasilevskiy, like, he does that thing where he stretches out. He's so powerful. Like, I know you watch the goalies close, because that's kind of like your, you know, what you focus in on, and because what you know, you play and all that. The power, the athleticism that he has, it's incomparable, really. And so my only concern for Colorado is that game last night might have creaked open the door to, as John Cooper says, Vasilevskiy gets his mojo back. And if he does, it might not matter if you get 45 shots a game. If they win, Vasilevskiy will be the Conn Smythe winner.
Even though he's had a couple of games with big numbers.
Yeah, they will not win unless he is vintage Vasilevskiy.
That's why I love talking to him, because I thought Colorado was okay last night. Just the score sort of overshadowed those massive saves that he made.
But okay, so he made those massive saves. Honestly, were you really surprised?
No.
And he could make eight more of them tomorrow, and you'd go, oh yeah, he had a great game. Like, he's able to do, like those other three guys, he's able to do things other people can't. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be like saying, why doesn't a defenseman play like Cale Makar? Well, because they can't.
Yeah.
They just can't. Like, why doesn't somebody play goal like, every team now is looking for 6'3" athletic goalies. You can get them, but they're still not Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
Like I've just, the first time I saw him was at the World Junior, and I don't get too excited about goalies very often, mainly because I find them really difficult to
project,
evaluate and project. Like a guy that's no good for 4 years, all of a sudden has 5 great years. And you're like, how did that happen? First time I saw Vasilevsky, I say to Gord Miller, we're at the World Junior in a tournament. I go, that kid's an NHL star. That's a starter right there. Yeah. And he's like, why do you say? I said, just look at him. Like, he just commands it. He commands the net. Yeah. And he was doing it as a 16-year-old. And now he's, no matter what Tampa is, and they do have, they've got a heart, they have a champion's heart. They really do. They've also got that guy.
Yeah. You're working your first Stanley Cup final. Has it been nerve-wracking, exciting? How have you described it?
Both. I feel more pressure. I feel
you
more
do,
pressure to get it, to try and get it right. Like, I made a mistake in the first game. Oh, it drove me crazy. I don't know how I missed it, but I had in my head that Rantanen scored the first goal, but I'm watching it. The pucks, if you remember, it squeaked through Vasilevsky, and right from the goal line, Landeskog punched it in. But I'm watching the replay and I see it's Landeskog, but I'm thinking about the shot. And Rantanen gets the goal, and I'm like, and I missed it. That bugs me, Darren. Oh, I can't believe I did it. I'm like, how did I miss that?
I love the fact that the audience is hearing you say that. I think that's so cool.
Oh, I want to get it right. And of course, you hear about it from people. And, it's like if you make 3 mistakes and get 48 things right, doesn't matter. You made 3 mistakes. So that bugs me. But to be here it's so great. Like I'm on the ice too. So I get to see, really close to everything's so important. Like even like a dump in the zone, the guy, like he's making so sure on it. And when they make a mistake, you can just see the weight of the mistake. Like it's so cool that these kids have just, these guys, I'll tell you why I said kid in a minute. These guys have played their whole careers, most of them, and never gotten a sniff. Mm-hmm. Now, Tampa's lucky. They got 15 guys from last year's team. But do you think they're saying in this moment, oh, yeah, but we won last year?
Yeah.
Come on.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. The reason I said kid, I just went to get a coffee, and I ran into Nate McKinnon's mom, a super nice woman. And we're talking, and she's like, it's unbelievable. We're watching Nate in the finals. And I was like, oh, of course, it's your son. It's not just Nate McKinnon, the great player. It's your son. She said, oh, it's exciting and nerve wracking. And they showed, they interviewed Gary Makar in game 2 after Cale scores the 2 goals. And he's so excited. And you're like, yeah, because that's his son. It's not Cale Makar. It's his son. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I just love it. It's so cool to be part of this.
Well, I think it's great that you're not too cool to realize it where Darren, you are right now.
Thank you. I've done this 20 years, unbelievably. And I always thought, geez, it would be fun to do one of those, like just to get to do it. And lots of times, well, most of the time, you're either in the right place with the right network that gets the final, or you're not.
Yeah.
And so when I signed at ESPN, one of the great draws, A, was doing national games, but B was to do the final. Like, I want to do it. I want to accomplish something that I never got to do as a player. And, people say, oh, it's the next best thing. No, coaching would be, because that would be the next thing, or mm-hmm. management. But to be here and to be able to be part of the soundtrack of what this is really, it's satisfying. I'm proud of it, and I want to get it right. And probably like the players. You want to get it right.
Now, you played on a Hartford Whaler team that had like six coaches. Why didn't you go into coaching?
Okay, when I was playing, I thought I would be a coach.
Really?
Yeah, as I got older and, you know, you start thinking because, you know, the guys are getting faster and younger and bigger and you're like, maybe I should start thinking. I thought I would coach. I got traded in 1995 from the Rangers to LA. And I get to LA and I'm just crushed because I just signed with the Rangers. And I'm sitting there and I get a call from ESPN, from the head of ESPN2 talent at the time, Barry Sachs. And Barry became a great advocate for me. And he said, I think you could be really good at this. Would you like to try it? I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm still playing. He's like, yeah, but come into the studio. And so I guess it went well. And the next year they had me back for a longer stint. And so I thought, well, maybe this is something I would like to do. And so the coaching thing kind of got put over on the side. But I always thought I would do it. And then I was broadcasting. Like I retired in May May of 02, when St. Louis, where I was playing, lost out. And I started at Sportsnet in October. I didn't know what I was doing. My first game, we're doing an opening, before the game. And Kevin Quinn was my play-by-play partner, just a terrific person.
One of my good best friends. I love him.
Oh, man. What a great guy. What just a super, super person. He says, okay, Ray, we got to do the open. And I said, what's the open? And he's like, well, I had no idea. I didn't know what that was called. And Kevin handheld me through all of it. But I had no idea. And so now I'm into it for a few years. And the coaching thing kind of went away. And I thought I've always thought I would like to be involved in management. But I'm 20 years into this. And I really like it. And I'm getting a backseat education in management from my wife.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I've learned, because she doesn't tell me anything. People think that I lie when I say this. She doesn't tell me anything. You know, when I found out Kuzmenko's agreed to sign with Vancouver yesterday on Twitter.
Now, do you send Cammy a note saying like a little heads up?
No, I said, congrats. I guess you guys got Kuzmenko. And she's like, yes, he's agreed to sign, but they can't sign him till July 13th. But nothing.
She's using the official language too. He's agreed to sign. And
yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. We have this barn door in our main room to a little office. When that barn door closes, whatever's going on in there, I'm not welcome to know. So, but what I'm learning though, and I think it's been fascinating, is we think of management as the NHL team, right? And like, you know, the team, and they got to make a trade and they got to add this guy and salary cap. And there is so much that goes on underneath the NHL team that is part of the management of the management of a team. Draft, free agency, pro scouting, amateur scouting, development camp. That stuff doesn't just happen. Budgets. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I guess I probably knew, but you think that's somebody else's job.
Right.
I'm only going to be the manager. Oh yeah. No, you're not. Yeah. Short of washing the forks in the player's lounge. I mean, you're doing everything. It's been quite an education.
How often is the barn door closed?
Well, she goes into the office. She told me she was going to work at home a little more. This work and wife thing has been quite an education too. If somebody stuck a camera in our house between 7 and 8 a.m., whatever chaos you think is going on, is going on. Lunches, rides, Cammy getting ready for work. The dog, we got a dog a year ago. I'm not even a dog guy. Now we got a dog. Who do you think's walking the dog in the morning? Me. Pouring rain in Vancouver for 3 months. I'm out there and I'm like, and then I get a text. Hey, you got to get back quick because we got to get Rye to school. And then Reese needs a ride. And and you know what, Darren? I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm so proud of what she's doing. Yeah. I just think it's amazing. So my portion, I like to get up and I like to have my coffee and I like to take my time and I like to do my reading and do my prep. Yeah, guess when that happens? When that first wave of chaos is out of the way, and then we can kind of move along, or I can, she's gone, right? She's so, yeah. But when she works from home, that door's, it's gone and I'm not there.
Did you ever use the oven mitt to wrestle with the dog when the puppy teeth? I told you.
That was a great tip. Lost a few oven mitts because he would get it, right? Yeah. Like he, you know, you're waving it around at him. And I think at some point the dog's like, how stupid do you think I am? Boom, grabs it, gone. And I'm like, oh, I'll get that later. It rains. That oven mitt is now like 11 pounds. And now after, you know, 18 months or whatever, he's settling in a little bit, right? Good. And you are a dog guy though.
Yeah.
When, you know, I had all these rules. He's not going to sleep on the bed. He's not going to be on the couch. Useless. What am I doing? Now it's kind of nice when he kind of crawls in and makes his space and you're like, oh, hey, Ollie, how you doing? And I, you know, he's now part of the family, which you told me he would be. And
it's
he
the
is.
Best. It's the yeah. best. Kucherov, how bad do you think it was when he took the one timer and you noticed right away, like you were yeah. on top of it and he winced a little bit and went off the ice. You thought groin, like in around there. Yeah. And I thought, boy, that's trying to lean into it with a groin would be hard.
Yeah. So here's what happened with that play, Darren. Sometimes you get lucky. And you're looking at a place on the ice. That's a little bit random, but you just happen to be looking there. So Tampa's on the power play, puck gets shot down to Tampa zone. For some reason, I'm looking, I only see four guys, Tampa guys. So I look up and, oh yeah, there's Kucherov. He's, you know, he stays high on the breakout on the power play.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of watching him. Devon Taves is in the middle of the ice and he's skating forwards. Now going to turn backwards, you know, to accept the rush. Kucherov comes right behind him and he gives him one right in the low back. Boom, little cross check. And Taves kind of, you know, it was a little bit of a.
It hurts.
And he was sour. Taves was sour. And then the play immediately went to Kucherov out wide. He took the puck and Taves gave him one. So there was a back and forth there that wasn't really captured. That, of course, John Cooper will see later. But when he said after, if you think the play's dirty and you're asking the question, you already know the answer. There was a reason that happened. Right. And he came right off the ice and he was on the limp right away. And just the way he came off, it's a groin. Mm-hmm. Then that one timer, right away, he comes off the ice. And that at the time, fortunately, they're up 6-2. So get in the room and start treatment. And you've got a full day off today. You've got a full day off tomorrow. He doesn't need to skate tomorrow morning. And then you can make a decision at 7:50, you know, before. But with Braden Point clearly hobbled. I mean, he tried to play in game one and two, and he was miles away from what Braden Point is, right? Like, it just watching him play, you're like, oh, man, he's doing the best he can. But if Kucherov can't play and Point's at that stage of health, that really swings the ball away from Tampa.
Can Kucherov play just the power play? Would you ever consider something like that instead of a regular shift?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Because I think you could, if you were avoiding contact, maybe you could just play the power play. Like, you know, if it was a shoulder or something like that, you still got to be able to skate. You got to be able to get into the play. You've got to be able to have some quickness, you know, to your stride. I'll give you an example. Ryan Strome had I don't know if it was a quad or hip flexor or something that he hurt in the Ranger series against Tampa. And he tried to come back and play in game six, and he couldn't even move.
Yeah.
Like he tried, he left halfway through the game. Like it was so obvious watching him. But you're at this point, like, who's going to say, I can't go? Like, right. Andre Burakovsky didn't play in game three. I bet you he's ready to go in game four. If he can grip his stick, he's going to play. Nazem Kadri had surgery on his thumb. Like, in the season, that's 6 weeks. That's 6 weeks. Well, he's going to be close. I don't know. Andrew Cogliano had surgery on his pinky, and he's playing. You know, like, guys are going to do whatever they can because it means so much. And I don't know if people really understand it. I don't know how you would. I mean, like, whether it's the best decision or not for your health, you're not really thinking about that in the time. And I'll tell you, a player can be pretty persuasive.
Did you ever talk your way in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We were in a playoff race in LA. I had a meniscus surgery and in my knee, and I played 11 days later. And I was getting, they clipped off an edge that would, so you can stitch it, and that's a 6 week to 2 month recovery. Mm-hmm. If you clip the edge of it, that has fallen underneath, you can play almost immediately. And so after each game, the doctor and I would go in, and if it needed to be drained, we drained my knee.
Wow.
And so they put a little freezing on, they put a needle in, and they aspirate the fluid out. And I was getting pretty good at going 22 milligrams, 18, you know, it was dumb. And the doctor's like, you know, I'm going to have to put a stop to this if this keeps happening. And it got a little better, so I didn't have to do it all the time, but wasn't the brightest decision as I look at it now. But at the time, it was absolutely the right decision.
The challenge goal. Do you think there has to be some kind of tightening of the process? I don't blame Tampa at all. And I don't blame the NHL at all. But it just, like, that was last minute, last second, last millisecond.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's what I found out after the game is the real issue. So Tampa knows they're on the clock. They've mm-hmm. You know, it's not endless. So they're going through their video guys going, rewinding and viewing. So you got to think, as soon as that play goes back to the blue line, right to Bo Byram, they have a video guy. He's not watching the game. He's watching that. Anytime the puck's near the blue line, he's in that. So right away, while the play is still going on, although it happened from the time Byram touched it to in the nets, probably, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 seconds. He's probably already got that thing queued up and he's looking at it. Now he's looking at it again. You have to remember that the need to get it right is critical, because if you challenge, lose, it's in the net. Now you're shorthanded to that power play. So he's rewinding it. He needs another view. He needs another look. Each one of those looks takes a little bit of time to get to his computer. The look they need the most is the one that's blown up, right? That takes the longest to come in. That's the view they need. So I was told it was a minute 31 was the review. Felt like it was 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Certainly as you're talking about it on air, you know, we're lucky we have Dave Jackson, the official, retired official there, talking about the process of going through Toronto and all that. I don't know how they could do it quicker if they need that view.
Right.
But this was brought up. It's so fascinating. One of the great things we get to do is talk to coaches pregame. And so the first round, and it's amazing. You meet these guys and you're like, wow, they think of things at a level we often don't. And so Mike Sullivan from Pittsburgh, Bruce Cassidy, then with Boston, Rod Brind'Amour with Carolina, Gerard Gallant with the Rangers, John Cooper, they all say the same thing. Why are we challenging? Why is the onus on us?
Oh, yeah.
If we challenge that, in a lot of cases, they're talking more about goalie interference, it comes to a difference of opinion. My opinion is it's goalie interference. The league's opinion in this case is it's not. I get a penalty. Why is that? Why don't they just review every goal like they do in football, every scoring play? Take 30 seconds most time, and then there's no review. If it takes a minute, there's still no review,
right?
Because you can't challenge. The black and white plays, the in and out plays, I think they're fine with. That still doesn't get you past what happened last night. If they need that long view, like to get the blown up view, how do you do it faster?
I don't know.
No. I'm with you. I don't blame Tampa.
But the decision was down to the, like, they were about to drop the puck before
Derek Lalonde is the assistant coach. He's John Cooper's right hand. He's right beside Coop all the time. He's got the earpiece in. And they're looking in there, and Coop's got his hand up to the official, like, give me a few more seconds. Chris Rooney, the ref, is coming over to tell him we're done because it's long enough. And Lalonde just kind of springs up, his back foot on the bench, and he's, you know, looks like he's landing an airplane. And they're like, challenge. And so it happened, as you said, the last minute. It couldn't have been later. And then they go challenge, and that review, I don't know how long that took. And they got the call right. They'll tell you, the league, at the end of the day, they got the call right. And yes, that's what they want. And so could they streamline the process? Sure. Maybe where the streamline is, the review has to be done in, I don't know, pick a time, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like I don't know, pick the right time, whatever. We're going to give you a minute to challenge. As soon as the goal goes in, you could start a clock on the $10 million scoreboard.
Yeah.
And when the horn goes off, decide. No more time. That's it.
I wonder if we go there. I wonder.
It's a tough one, though. It's not.
It
sounds easy. And then you get into it and you're like, oh, gee, maybe that. Or
I don't want to be the one making the decision. But I will say that Cirelli and Hagel had their hands up. That doesn't determine anything, though, because players put their hands up all the time.
Oh, the officials just love that help from the players. You know, like, first of all, half of them, and I say them because I was, you don't know the rule anyway.
Yes.
And you're on the ice and it's happening that fast. Well, as sure as they were, I had at least three players come over and look at my monitor. Two of them asked me what I thought. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Like, I think it's out. Like, I don't know. I got the same view you do. So I don't think the player's help is, well, I don't think it matters. I know it doesn't matter.
On the subject of player's help, I've watched enough of your shows Tampa to know when you're talking at the start of a period, it looks like Patrick Maroon is trolling, just skating around in front, knowing that he's going to be on camera. Or when Cooper's doing his bench interview, he always seems to stand up. Am I on the money on this?
I would say Coop is very savvy.
Yeah.
He's very savvy, right? So he knows. Okay. So in game two of the series against the Rangers, game one was a mess for them. They're losing game two. Jeff Halpern, his assistant coach, comes over. Him and Coop have a short conversation. I see them talking about three lines because they were still using 11D or 11 forward 7D. And so I got in my head, watch for three lines. So I say that. In that game, the next game, late in that game, Ryan McDonagh takes that puck, a wide shot, and it hits him in the hand. He leaves for about 12 minutes. He comes back to the bench, and I see Cooper step over the bench, and he's going to talk to McDonagh as he's coming in by the defense door. And he puts his paper up beside his face like this. And I said to him the next day, I go, oh, you're a Sharpie, eh, Coop? And he says, what do you mean? I go, the paper there. He goes, oh, I didn't know you were watching. Oh, stop it. He knew. He knew. Now, as for Maroon, that guy cracks me up to no end. He has actually come over to my spot. I'm sure we were in Toronto. He grabbed my notes and was reading my notes on all the players as I was doing the start of the period hit. And I'm like trying not to laugh because I'm like, I wonder what I've written on there about him.
Yes.
Like, what if I'd written bad hand, slow, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
But he went, oh, not bad. And then he gave the notes back. So I think he is getting his name on camera. The best I ever saw at that. You remember Marty Reisner?
Yes.
So Gene Principe, we're doing the Oiler games. Gene would interview an Oiler player on the bench in warm-up. He'd be down there. Camera would be on Gene's left, and they'd be shooting the interview. Players on the ice, Gene's on the boards. Marty would always get right behind the interview and always stretch his right groin up on the boards so you could read his name in the back. He did it every game. It was the best. It was the best.
That's brilliant. I love that.
He said he wanted his parents to know he was in the game.
That's not a bad plan. I think that that's the job of the backup goalie. Just skate around there, make sure everybody sees you, because that might be the only time they see you. This is the last one. We're a copycat league. What's something that people are going to steal from these two teams?
Well,
I don't know whether there's an obvious one, because one's really, really fast and the other one's changed the style to gut it out.
Yeah, I would think that the real lesson here is you can't try to be what you're not.
Mm.
Tampa is not trying to play like Colorado. Colorado's not trying to play like Tampa. Colorado built a team. They drafted Nate McKinnon. They drafted Cale Makar. Are you going to put the harness on those guys? Or are you going to build around these brilliant players? Look, so they go get fast and skill and big. Like they're rockets the way they play the game. But their personnel dictated that. If you try to be Colorado, well, great. Go get a right-handed defenseman and you can tell yourself he's Cale Makar, but he's not. Like, I think it's really the copycat thing. Over time, I've kind of evolved my thought, Darren, about, I think it's foolish, because
to try and do it.
You're trying to be something you're not. Mm-hmm. I believe you draft position irregardless. Draft the best player in that spot. And if you end up with too many centermen, you can figure it out down the line. But draft skill, smarts, and speed. Those are my three things. I'm looking for a player always. Skill, smarts, speed. If I need to add size and responsibility, once I've drafted skill, smart, speed, I can find those players. But I want the most talented, the quickest, and the smartest. And then I think I'm on to something. So copycat, great. One team's got Victor Hedman. One team's got Cale Makar. One team's got Steven Stamkos and Kucherov. One team's got McKinnon and Rantanen. Like, you want to go copy that? Good luck to you.
We're a few ways, wins away from going down the drain on this, but you've already done that with your shower. Yes. I hope that you get that fixed at some point.
I hope it's fixed by the time I get home. I'm not even asking. I want to be surprised.
Will you at least paint the ceiling?
Okay, here's an issue, though. You know, you can't just paint around.
No.
Then you've got new paint on five-year-old paint. You'd have to paint the whole ceiling. And I'm okay with paint. I love to paint. My edge work, a little sloppy. So anyone that came in would be able to go, oh, who painted the edges? Like, so no, I will not. I'll buy the paint. How's that? That's my contribution.
You're good at taping a stick, maybe not taping the edges, but this has been awesome. And I'm so proud of you. I'm so happy for you. And I'm excited for the end of this series. Working a Stanley Cup final, buddy, between the benches. Nothing better as a broadcaster.
No, it's the best. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad things are going well for you. I hope you get some weather. I mean, your vacation is not supposed to be inside. So although I do see, as I look over in the corner, those are a couple golf clubs by the door.
A couple of golf clubs and a life jacket. So yeah, no, I've been doing a lot of swing analysis.
Okay, but here's the thing. The life jacket, I hope you don't need at the course. No. Right? I hope you're hitting it a little straighter than that.
I don't take any chances after falling off my bike. I have safety firmly in the back of my mind.
And there's my last point. Bikes are either a recreational ride, fine, or just get one that stays in one place.
Yeah.
Please, my suspended. Friend, just one place. I think that's the best way to go.
If I fall off the stationary bike,
yes.
I'm getting to the couch.
Yeah, there's another issue there. Yeah.
But I feel like a hockey player now with scars and stuff. I do. I honestly do. More like you.
I don't think it's I don't think it should be a goal. I really don't.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much.
I want to do this, and I've got to find the right time to do this with Ray. But there's something that I want to accomplish sort of on my bucket list as a person. I want to play a round of golf with Ray and Darren Pang. Because those two are like Stadler and Waldorf or Cheech and Chong, or they're a combination of that. Stadler and Waldorf, for the people that don't know, just Google it. You'll figure it out. They're just great chemistry. And I just want to play 18 holes with two golf balls, golf nuts, who love it, but chirp each other the whole time. I think that would be, you could auction that off at one of those sportsman dinners and make a mint. Having to get the opportunity to play with those two guys, Panger and Ray Ferraro, who do golf trips. They're the best of friends. It'd be awesome. We have some coaching news to tell you about with Barry Trotz, not signing just yet, but Pete DeBoer reportedly joined the Dallas Stars, John Tortorella with the Philadelphia Flyers, Bruce Cassidy with the Vegas Golden Knights. So those are all coming together, and Trotz still hasn't. So is he going to end up coaching Winnipeg like everybody thought all the way along, or does he take a left turn on the management side and maybe join his longtime general manager David Poile in Nashville? Wouldn't that be cool? They worked together forever in Music City, and then Barry comes back and is the guy to take over from David Poile. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I've heard that slant about it and the possibility there. Or Florida or Chicago. They both have interim tags on them. He could take over one of those Florida jobs if that comes open. Boy, what an opportunity on that part. Thanks to Ray Ferraro for joining us today on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Check out all the podcasts on NHL.com leading up to the National Hockey League draft. And of course, we're at the rink with the guys covering the Stanley Cup championship. Will we have a champion next week? We'll find out on The Chirp with Darren Millard.